the one who bore our sins in him.
As Nathan was saying, our Bible reading is 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 12 to 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. Let me read them for us. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer shame as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. I'm going to pray for us as we have a look at this next part of our series in 1 Peter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of the Lord Jesus, who endured suffering for telling other people the good news. Would you be using your word today so that we are willing to pattern our lives on his life, even if that brings suffering? And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I became a follower of the Lord Jesus around Easter 1987. So I was 11 years old, and I was last year in my primary school. So I had a few months at the primary school. And becoming a Christian was such a joyful experience. I remember, I don't remember the exact dates, but I do remember the feelings, the realization that I wasn't right with God because of my sin. But then the amazing offer that Jesus died to pay for my sin, so that I could have a relationship with God forever. And I thought that was a brilliant deal. So I became a Christian. I asked Jesus to forgive my sins and become Lord of my life. And then I went home with a lot of joy and thinking to myself, well, it just seems so straightforward. It seems such a great deal. You know, who would not want it? And so I do remember going into my secondary school, first year of secondary school, and determined to tell other people the good news of Jesus and expecting them to react in the same way as I did, just to see how amazing it was and just how a great thing it would be to follow the Lord Jesus. That was my expectation as I went into secondary school. I don't think I need to tell you that other people didn't see things the same way as I did. You won't be surprised to hear that it didn't turn out that all my class got converted. I don't think anyone, as far as I know, got converted. Because I tried to explain the gospel to those around me at school, and all I got was pushback. You know, so you know, things like God Squad, Bible Basher, all those different things, and they made fun of me. And I didn't expect that. I wasn't expecting that reaction. And so I wondered, well, what was the problem? Maybe I had got it wrong. Maybe I had explained the gospel wrong, because it was such an amazing offer of salvation that surely they would see exactly what I saw. So I must have been the problem. I must have explained the good news of Jesus in a wrong way. So I went back home, did some homework about how to explain the gospel better, expecting to go back into school and people to become Christians. And again, I got the same response. Fairly robust language about what they thought about me. And looking back, I didn't react to suffering for Jesus in the right way. And I reacted wrongly because I had wrong expectations of what it would be like when I shared the gospel. So wrong expectations led me to wrong conclusions. And I wonder if you're a Christian, I wonder if you could relate to my experience. of maybe when you first became a Christian and trying to share the gospel with your family or your friends or your neighbors or people at work, and them putting a massive brick wall, but also, you know, maybe insulting you for what you believe and what you said. So how should Christians react when they suffer for their faith? What are the right expectations that will lead to the right reactions when we suffer for sharing Jesus with with other people? And those questions are really important, aren't they, as we are in this month of Passion for Life, that this particular stretch of time where we want to encourage us as a church to reach out with the good news of the Lord Jesus. But also, it's not meant to be a one-off hit of evangelism in March, and we can wait for the next four years to come around and Passion for Life to come around again. We need to be sharing the gospel all the time. And so this is really helpful for us as we think through what it means to share the gospel. So the first point, rejoice that you are part of Team Jesus, verses 12 to 13. Rejoice that you're part of Team Jesus. Because if we've grown up in Great Britain, the chances are that we haven't experienced a huge amount of suffering for being a Christian. Yeah, we might have experienced a little bit, but not a huge amount. So when suffering comes because we're living for Jesus and owning Jesus' words, it can be a bit of a shock to the system, can't it? I was shocked at age 11, but then I'm sure I'll be shocked again later on, you know, if I share the gospel and people are having a go at me for it. Well, what's the right expectation? Well, Peter gives us what the right expectation is in verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. So Peter says that the right expectation is that we shouldn't be surprised when we suffer for the Lord Jesus. Now, Peter is not talking about suffering that everyone faces, whether they are Christians or not Christians, such as, you know, cancer or war or natural disasters. He's not talking about that kind of suffering. Rather, he's talking about the suffering Christians face when they tell other people about Jesus, when they share the gospel, where they stand for Jesus' words, wherever there are other people who don't know the Lord Jesus. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we suffer as Christians, because Peter says suffering isn't strange. Rather, it's normal. We should expect at some point, not all the time, but at some point, to receive some pushback for sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And the problem is that we think normal Christian life is free from suffering, while suffering for Jesus is strange. And Peter says it's the other way around. Not suffering for Jesus is strange, whereas the normal Christian life is one of suffering. We need, and I think we need to take that to heart, because as we live in our culture, it seems to be, I know probably preachers say that all the time, but it does seem to be a bit hotting up. When I became a follower of the Lord Jesus in the 1980s, being a Christian was seen as being a bit weird, but harmless. I was preaching this sermon in Berry Street. I gave an example, and unfortunately, I think I offended someone. I said it was a bit like being a train spotter. So hopefully, there's no train spotters here, but there we go. I've risked it again. It was seen as being about a little bit of a train spot, a hobby, which is a bit weird, you know, but harmless. But today, our culture has shifted. Not all our culture, but a lot of our culture shifted, and they see Christians not as, you know, weird but harmless, but as dangerous. And if you read some of the comments on BBC News, sometimes even as evil. And that's a shock, isn't it? To see for us to be labeled as evil by those people who aren't Christians. And I think the trajectory of our culture suggests that we'll be experiencing more suffering for being a Christian rather than less. And I think we need to learn the lesson now that suffering for our faith is not unusual, but is normal. So Peter says we shouldn't be surprised at suffering for being a Christian. However, he goes on to say something that sounds really impossible. Did you read verse 13 and think, that's really hard to think how that works? Because instead of being surprised at suffering, we should rejoice in it. Have a look at verse 13. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. You know, Peter isn't saying that we should rejoice in the pain of being called names or losing friends or having lies spread about us on a WhatsApp group. Rather, he's saying we should rejoice when insulted for being a Christian, because that suffering shows us that we are part of Team Jesus. We belong to Jesus, Christians. And as we belong to Team Jesus, that means that the glory is on the way for those who belong to Jesus. Because Jesus promised that he will return to earth at the end of time to wrap up history. And when he comes, he will come in glory. You know, no longer will he be a weak man, his body contorted and pinned to a cross. Rather, he'll be a conquering hero, the champion, vindicated, praised, adored, you know, glorified. And what a day that will be for everyone who has put their lot with him, everyone who is Team Jesus. Because those who belong to Team Jesus will share his glory. And Jesus sets a pattern for the Christian life. Because when Jesus was on earth, he too suffered. When he shared about what it meant to be right with God, when he shared about who he was, he suffered too. And because Jesus is our pattern, if we are Christians, that means here on earth, before he returns or before we go to heaven, we will suffer too. However, the glory will be ours when Jesus returns, because he is our pattern. We will follow the pattern of his life. And that is how Christians can rejoice now as we suffer for Jesus, because our suffering reminds us that we are part of Team Jesus. We're wrapped up in him. You know, what happens to him happens to us. He will be glorified at the end of time. And because we are with him, we will be glorified. And that's going to be a great joy, isn't it? As we look forward to that. So if you are suffering for being a Christian, maybe at the moment it's just snide comments, maybe it's just an insulting word. I don't know what things might be said, but I can guess. Then joy is found in realizing that you are bound. We are bound for glory. Suffering now for speaking, living for Jesus shows that we are following the pattern Jesus set, and that pattern is suffering now, glory later. Suffering now, glory later. And so if you are in the midst of suffering for the Lord Jesus, are you reminding yourself of that pattern? Maybe you're not suffering, but you know a Christian friend who is suffering. Are you reminding them that it's suffering now, glory later? We can rejoice because of the glory to come, even through the hard times. So rejoice that you are part of Team Jesus. So second, realize that God's favor is on you, verses 14 to 16. So in 12 to 13, Peter has given the Christians the pattern for the normal Christian life. And he says, don't be surprised when you suffer like Jesus, because look back at Jesus' life, he suffered. Instead, rejoice. Now, what he does, he moves on to like a worked example of that. So have a look down at verse 14. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If we've been public with our living for Jesus, then I'm sure at some point we've experienced insults. I'm sure that's the case. Not all the time. You know, it might come and go in terms of when we get pushed back, but we've experienced something like that. You know, and when insults come, because you live for Jesus, then Peter tells us our reaction should be to think ourselves not as unlucky and or poor me, but as blessed. And in the Bible, the word blessed means that God has favored us. So we're to think to ourselves when we suffer, we are favored by God. Now that's hard, isn't it? You know, I just want to go home and be comforted by someone. I don't want to suffer. But the Bible says that we are favored by God. And that's what it means. Blessed just means by favored. I was having a look on Twitter this week, and hashtag blessed is often used on there. when things are going well for someone, so you see pictures of someone with their lovely family and they put on hashtag blessed, or yeah, they've gone on a beautiful holiday and they've got, you know, seen the Grand Canyon or something and they say hashtag blessed. It's very rarely used for someone who's going through suffering. Maybe you can show me later on, but as far as I can see, it's very rarely used on Twitter, hashtag blessed, for someone who's going through a really hard time. However, hashtag blessed is exactly what Christians should be saying to themselves when suffering for Jesus comes their way. So how can a Christian cop a mouthful of abuse for following Jesus and think to herself, hashtag blessed? How is that possible? Well, the answer is towards the end of verse 14. It's because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on us when we're insulted for the Lord Jesus. When we take a stand for him and we're insulted for the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of glory rests on us. And that idea of the Spirit of glory comes from Isaiah 11, from the Old Testament. Because in Isaiah 11, the Spirit is said to rest on God's Messiah. And ultimately, the God's suffering Messiah was the Lord Jesus. So as Christians suffer for their faith, the same Spirit of glory who rested on Jesus also rests on us if we suffer for our faith. Isn't that an amazing thought? That means our suffering is like Jesus' suffering to a certain extent. It's that idea of it's a prelude to the glory that will follow. Did you see how the Holy Spirit is described? The Spirit of glory. Glory is coming our way if we suffer for the Lord Jesus. Let me try and illustrate it this way. Just imagine the Christian life is a roller coaster. I don't know whether you've ever been as far north as Blackpool, but I think about the big one in Blackpool, maybe you haven't got that far north. Think about Alton Towers or something like that. Jesus is in the front seat of the roller coaster, and every Christian fills up the carriages behind him. And as the ride starts, immediately it plunges down into a dip, which represents Jesus' suffering on earth. And that is the suffering that Jesus experienced that first time round when he was on earth. But then the carriage that Jesus is in goes up to the highest point in the ride, and he's there in his glory, risen and ascended in heaven. And now whatever happens to Jesus happens to us because we are traveling in the cars behind. And as Jesus traveled through the dip of suffering, all those behind him on the Christian life roller coaster will also go through that dip as well. And that's where many of us are now. Or that's where many of us might experience ourselves in this month of reaching out with the gospel. But what we can do, we can look to the glory ahead. We can look to where Jesus is, which is on the top of the big one at Blackpool. Looking ahead to that peak of glory where Jesus is. And so that's what we've got ahead of us. And although we might be in the dip at the moment, glory is coming because it came for the Lord Jesus. And that's how Christians who are suffering for their faith in Jesus can say to themselves, hashtag blessed. They're not blessed because people insult them. Rather, they are blessed because they can see that the glory is coming. And they think, well, I'm following in the footsteps of my master, the Lord Jesus. And one day, that glory will be mine. And it's a key to learn this lesson so that when suffering for our faith comes, we can say to ourselves, we can actually, if we're in the midst of it, we can say to ourselves, I'm hashtag blessed. We can look ahead to the glory that Jesus is enjoying in heaven and realize that's going to be ours one day. However, not all suffering is God's way of showing his favor. There is some suffering that we should avoid, verse 15. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. And so if we suffer because we've done something illegal like stealing money from work, then suffering is deserved and we should be ashamed. We shouldn't be saying to ourselves, hashtag blessed, because God is against those things and we deserve to be punished. So we shouldn't feel blessed then. But if we suffer being a Christian, then we should feel blessed rather than ashamed, verse 16. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. You know, I feel shame a number of times when I know that I've done something wrong. You know the times where I've never, ever felt shame? When I've done the right thing. So for example, after university, I was unemployed for many months, and a training company was being paid by the job center to get people off the unemployment stats and to get people into training. And I was all for joining this company. The job center was all for me joining the company. And I had a phone call from the training company, and they basically said, look, all our quota for people is filled up, but we can get you on if you say that you've got a disability. Have you got anything wrong with yourself? I said, well, you know, a bit short-sighted. And I said, well, can we put down that you are almost blind? And I said, this is true. And I said, I refuse to lie. I said, no, I can't do that. And I got a bit of an earful from the company. Now, I was a bit shocked by the experience, but the one thing I wasn't was ashamed, because I did the right thing. And in many ways, we might be shocked by the suffering we get as a Christian, but if we stand with the Lord Jesus, the one thing we shouldn't be is ashamed, because we are doing the right thing. So if you are suffering as a Christian, don't be ashamed. You haven't done something wrong. You're standing with the Lord Jesus. You're doing the things which are right in the eyes of God. So rather than feeling shame, we are to praise God that we bear the name of Jesus. He owns us. We are part of Team Jesus. You know, again, this feeling of being blessed when suffering for our faith, it's counterintuitive, isn't it? We would never work it out on our own. I never worked out when I was at 11 years old, having got an earful at secondary school for telling people about Christ. We'll never feel blessed or favored unless we actually remember that the Spirit of glory, God's Holy Spirit, who's on Jesus, is also on us. And in the same way, when Jesus suffered, we will suffer. But in the same way, the Spirit is the Spirit of glory. Glory is coming. Realize God's favor is on you. And third, see suffering as God's way of refining our faith, verses 17 to 19. So back in verse 16, we've been told that if we suffer as a Christian, we should praise God. And he gives a further reason to praise God in these verses. Take a little look at the end of verse 16 into verse 17. Praise God that you bear that name because here's the reason we should praise God, because we bear the name of Jesus. It's time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome? What will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, when I read verse 17, in preparing this sermon, it jarred a little. I wonder if it jars with you. You're thinking, really? Is that right? Verse 17? Did I read that wrong? What jarred with me, and maybe jars with you, is the idea that God judges his household. He judges the church. He just judges Christians. Does God really judge Christians? You know, I know, and you know, if you're a Christian, Romans 8, you know, there's now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Well, the answer lies in understanding that the word judgment means things in different contexts. And sometimes judgment does mean condemnation. However, the word judgment has a broader range of meanings than simply condemnation. In some contexts, judgment can mean testing without the thought of condemnation. I think that's what it means here, because Christians will never be condemned by their Heavenly Father. You know, the sin that would bring condemnation has fully and finally been paid by Jesus on the cross. When we become a Christian, we are forgiven our past, present and future sins. It's completely paid for. So it can't mean that God judges and condemns the church. It can't mean that. You know, Christians will never be condemned by the Heavenly Father. However, when Christians undergo suffering for living for Jesus, they are experiencing some kind of judgment or testing by God. Their faith is refined or being refined. I'm not really into geology, but I think when you dig a bit of gold out of the earth, it doesn't come like in a big solid 24-carat gold lumps. Rather, it's mixed with other things, isn't it? So when you put a lump in the pot, heat it up, the gold melts, turns into liquid, but the impurities, the non-gold stuff, that's the technical term, floats to the top, and then it can be skimmed off. So it purifies the gold. The gold is purer through the process, and it strengthens it. So when the fiery ordeal of suffering comes on Christians, we are like gold in a vat. The fire of suffering burns away the impurities in our faith, and our faith becomes purer and stronger. I think it's pointed to that in verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, to refine you, to see that you are trusting in the Lord Jesus. And so the suffering we experience is God's refining judgment on us. And we can praise God because we know that going through that process will purify our faith. And we'll be going through that process a number of times during our life. It purifies our faith. And eventually it'll help us get us to heaven as we keep going, keep trusting in the Lord Jesus. I wonder whether you see that if you're suffering for your faith at the moment, that is what is happening. God is not punishing you. He's refining you. And that suffering that you're experiencing isn't purposeless. It's refining your faith so that it's purer and stronger. And the process will keep you following Jesus until you make it home by his strength and power to heaven. God's judgment may purify and strengthen the faith of Christians, but it's a terrifying prospect for those who don't believe the Lord Jesus. Did you see that as we reread verse 17? For it's the time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Answer that question, not a good outcome. Because the outcome for those who do not believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus is one of everlasting destruction. Yeah, that's hinted at in verse 17, and it's made a little bit clearer as Peter goes back to the Old Testament and quotes a verse from the Old Testament in verse 18. And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Now, again, as I was doing my prep during this week, That phrase in verse 18 jarred with me. If it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what on earth's going on there? Because surely God is all powerful and he can save people, and it's in many ways easy for him, and Jesus' death and resurrection is all satisfying. What does it mean that it's hard for the righteous, for Christians to be saved? Well, it's not the case that it's hard for God. Rather, it's hard for Christians who suffer for their faith to remain faithful to Jesus to the very end. And there's always that temptation to escape the suffering by giving up on the Christian faith. So it's not talking about the God side of salvation. It's talking about the human side, that it's hard for Christians to keep going. But if it's hard for Christians to be saved and keep going to the end, and being saved, and then it's impossible for those who aren't Christians. They will be destroyed by God's judgments. Now, if you're someone who isn't a Christian, then thank you for coming. Thank you for tuning in. And these words are very, very solemn words, aren't they? They're very solemn and serious. And the reason they're there is because God is warning us today that judgment will come on everyone who does not trust in the Lord, in the Lord Jesus. And in many ways, in our culture, we want justice, don't we? But the judge of things that are wrong is us. But just imagine if the judge of the things that are wrong is God, and he's got a very different set of scales of justice. And he will condemn everyone for the injustice they've committed. And so if you're not someone who calls themselves a Christian, then he warns you today so that to do something about it. And God has provided a way to be forgiven before that final day of judgment comes and it's too late. And the only way to escape judgment is to ask Jesus, the Lord Jesus, to pay for our all the injustice we've committed against each other and against God, and ask him to pay for it on the cross. And that is a prayer that God is always willing to hear and to answer. Now, if you are looking into Christian faith, you may not be convinced. You might be skeptical that judgment is coming. Well, let me give you one reason that the Bible gives that says that this is what God points to, God the Father points to try and convince those people who are skeptical that judgment is coming. Because elsewhere in the Bible, it says that God the Father has appointed Jesus to be the judge of humanity. And to help us believe that judgment will come and Jesus will be judged, God has given proof of that judgment by raising Jesus from the dead after he was dead 3 days. Because Jesus was executed on a Roman cross and thrown into a borrowed tomb, but on the third day he rose again from the dead. And God raised Jesus so that he could judge the world. And as you look at the resurrection of Jesus, God is saying, look at that to see that I'm willing and ready to bring judgment on the world. So if you are skeptical of Christianity, then can I encourage you to investigate the resurrection of Jesus? Because if Jesus didn't die again from the dead, then Christianity is a lie and we should all go home and I should go and find a different occupation. But if he did rise again from the dead, then it's God's way of saying to us, judgment is coming. It's God's way of proving to us. Actually, in the passage it's mentioned in Acts, it says it's God's proof that judgment is going to come. He proves it by raising Jesus from the dead. So with the stakes being so high, and if you're looking into the Christian faith, isn't it worth investigating that? So please come and talk to myself or Nathan about ways in which you can investigate that. So for those of us who are Christians, this idea that suffering is a way of God refining our faith, then that should shape the way that we think about our suffering. So if I could go back to my 11-year-old self, I'd say to him, look, Jonathan, you try to go and share your faith with Jesus. I think he did everything reasonably okay. I'm sure you could have done it a bit better, but I'm sure you told him about Jesus. The fact that you are suffering, the fact that they are calling you names, that is that God's way of refining your faith so that it's stronger and it's purer. And so for many of us, we need ourselves to say that to ourselves, but we also need other Christians to say that to us as well. So see suffering as God's way of refining your faith. So at the start of the sermon, we asked that question of how Christians should respond to suffering for the faith. How should I respond at age 11? Well, we are to rejoice that we are part of Team Jesus. Jesus suffered and then was glorified. We are to realize that God's favor is on us. We are hashtag blessed. And we are to see suffering as God's way of refining our faith. You know, suffering for the Lord Jesus isn't going to be easy. But it's looking at these words of his to encourage us to keep going. So let's pray together to be able to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word is very honest with us as it tells us that Christians will suffer for our faith. Father, when this happens, help us not to be surprised. Rather, give us eyes to see that suffering is a normal part of the Christian life modeled on the Lord Jesus. Would we respond with joy that we are part of Team Jesus? And would we realize that suffering shows that your favor is on us? Father, we pray for those Christians who've kept quiet about their faith because they're afraid of pushback. Father, please encourage them to take those small steps of obedience this week so they tell others they are Christians and follow Jesus. Forgive us for all the times that we, all of us, have remained silent. And give us a desire to speak. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.